Lord have mercy. Shame on us. We can't get more excited about that day that our Savior has risen from the dead and seals for us and guarantees for us our inheritance in heaven with Him. Happy Resurrection Day. Yeah, all right. Let's join in a word of prayer. We're going to be going to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Let us pray. Father God, we come and we thank You, Father, for meeting us in this place today. Father, we pray and hope that the worship was glorifying to You, that You found honor in it and glory through it. But Father, we come as Your church, Father, and we now come to the hearing of Your word and, Father, the preaching of Your word. And so, Father, I, as Your servant, have come, Father, to try to meet that need, Father, for Your people. But Father, I bring myself to You, Father, and ask You to forgive me of my sin, for I am a weak man, Father, who is in need of Your forgiveness. So Father, I pray and beg You that You would forgive me of those things that do not glorify and honor You that are in my life. Strengthen me and help me to move away from those things. But Father, I also pray for those in this congregation, Father, that struggle with the same kind of things. Father, that they as well would repent and ask You for forgiveness. That there would be nothing that would stand between us this morning from hearing from You, Father, to speak into our hearts, and that Your Holy Spirit will move, Father, amongst Your people, and that we will be changed because we have come into Your presence. So, Father, as I always, I come before You, and Father, and just offer myself You as Your servant. If I am not the one to speak for You this day, I pray that You silence my lips and You would rise up the one that You have to speak for You, that You would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've titled this sermon, Tidings of Joy and Peace. I love the line of that song that the praise band just played when it goes like this. It says, "One final breath He gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake," and I can just imagine everybody in here just stomping their feet when I say that. "The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, His perfect love could not be overcome. Death, where is your sting?" Hallelujah. "Our resurrected King has rendered You defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive." Friends, today we celebrate the single most important event in all of history. He is alive. The King is risen. Our God is not dead. He is surely alive. He's living on the inside, and He's what? Roaring like a... You know, listen, for Christians and non-Christians alike, this day, 2,000 plus years ago, marked a time of change. I don't care if you're a believer or not, it marked a time of change, a time of a new beginning. Thank You, Jesus. Amen? The world would never be the same. This event marked a forever change. Anybody here has experienced a forever change? Amen, right? 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, rose from the grave. Yes, Jesus did die, but we can sing hallelujah, amen? We can sing hallelujah because after 3 days, He arose. He is no longer dead. He is alive. And friends, this today is what it is all about. In the life of a believer, this is what it is all about. Resurrection Day. Forever He is alive. And so it is with us who believe. This children's sermon was perfect to lead into this. It is same with us who believe and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. It's by His stripes that we were healed, and His resurrection marked our eternal hope. And I'm not just talking about a hope-so kind of hope. I'm not talking about I think-so kind of hope. I'm talking about a living hope. I'm talking about a hope that brings security into your life. It's a no-so hope. It's a living hope. On Friday, Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross at Calvary. We have all heard of the horrific pain and suffering that He experienced as He was beaten, as He was tortured and humiliated before all of mankind. And we have heard of how, at the appointed time, Jesus bowed His head. as heaven looked away. Can you get that? People often ask me that question. Why did it turn so dark? Why did it turn to darkness? Here's the only thing I could tell you. God cannot look upon sin, and that's when my sin was placed upon him. Heaven looked away. Can you get that? Heaven turned its head. We've heard after 3 days, according to Matthew 28:2, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. As the ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. Amen. And then when the women went to the tomb on a Sunday morning to properly prepare Jesus' body, they found that the stone had been rolled away and Jesus was not there. The box was empty. Amen. We all have heard of how there was panic as they tried to figure out what happened to the body of Jesus. There was this panic moment in all these people. In fact, many rumors surfaced as some believed that Jesus' body was stolen, and others just didn't know what to believe. They didn't know what to think or what to believe. But hallelujah, Jesus began to show himself. April Fool's on them. Amen. Jesus said, ha ha, yeah, you don't think? Look, he goes around and he begins to show himself, amen? Because for a period of 40 days, he revealed himself in a resurrected form to hundreds of witnesses. So there is no doubt, there's no fool's joke, Jesus is alive. Jesus was no longer dead, he is alive, and that, my friends, is the resurrection story. Jesus rose from the dead, and today he is alive forevermore. Hallelujah, he is risen. Amen. Come on. So now, look, what does that mean to me? Oh, I don't have enough time to unfold it all for you. But listen, I'm going to give you two of great things that I can tell in this story right off the bat. This morning I want to take a closer look at what Jesus' resurrection means for us. For you and for me. What is the benefit to us to have a living God and a living Savior? Well, let's look and see how Jesus revealed himself after his resurrection. That's going to tell us a story. Now, although Jesus revealed himself to hundreds of people, this morning I want to focus on two encounters. Two encounters that people had with Jesus. One is a personal encounter, and the other is a corporate encounter. But as we look at each of these encounters, I want you all to see that with the presence of Jesus came a blessing. Let me say that again. If you don't have Jesus, this will matter. If you do have Jesus, this will matter. With the presence of Jesus came a blessing. And listen, you and me, we have the same hope of the blessing in our lives today because of the resurrection. So turn with me in the book of John, chapter 20, right there, and I think it's going to go with, I think it's chapter, or verse 11. Now, I'm not going to read you the entire chapter here, as most of us have already heard the account of the resurrection. Most of us know it. So what I'm going to do is pick out two specific appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. Here's the first. First, Jesus appeared personally to Mary Magdalene, which will show us this. Here's the first point. Jesus' resurrection brings a message of joy. Jesus' resurrection brings a message of joy. Beginning in chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw, so here she is, she's distraught. She is in a state of hopelessness. And after she saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at his feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? What's the problem with you? What's going on?" So she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman," that's why I call my wife woman. Hey, woman. No. No. I better back up. I digress. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned to him. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. I want to tell you something. There's a whole picture of salvation right there. I don't have time to unfold it, but it is. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. May the Lord add a blessing to reading of his word. One other thing I want to point out. You notice the first thing, once Mary and Jesus got connected and they realized who each other was, that Jesus' first command was go tell. Isn't that cool? Go share the gospel, right? Now, although I didn't read the verses leading up to this point, in verses 1 through 10, Mary Magdalene, a loyal and devoted follower and servant of Jesus Christ, had gotten up early to go to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial because they didn't have enough time to do it on Friday. But when she got there, the stone had been rolled away and Jesus' body was gone. So I want you to think about Mary's feelings. I want you to get into Mary's mindset. Mary was sad. I think you could even say that she was distraught as she stood by the tomb of Jesus weeping. This friend that she had counted on, this friend that she had loved and followed and served was now gone. First, the tragedy of his death, and now they're adding insult to injury. His body was gone. What kind of cruel joke is somebody playing on my loved one? And listen, all she wanted to do was mourn and honor her friend in death. But that was even stolen away from her. That would be horrible. Now let me ask you a question. Put yourself in Mary's place. Have you ever been in such a state? Have you ever been in such a state when things had gone from bad to worse? Things that you have absolutely no control over? Things that you can't fix or change? When you feel like things are so bad that you just cannot go on. You just can't seem to move forward. You're stuck. There's Mary in front of the tomb. Have you ever been in a place like that? Well, there's no doubt that Mary was there. Feelings of despair and uncertainty. Not sure what to do or where to turn. Not understanding why it even had to happen. So many questions and so few answers are going around. And so she stayed at the tomb and she could not bring herself to leave. She couldn't bring herself to leave this situation. This situation had upset her very much. It upset her very deeply. So much so that she could not move on. She could not move past the situation. She was in shock at what she was experiencing. She couldn't move. So let me ask you, have you ever been at this point in your life when it seemed like you had nowhere to turn and nowhere to go? Have you ever been there not knowing what to do, not understanding why, and all you can really do is weep or cry about a situation? Well, that's where we find Mary in verse 11. She is standing next to the tomb, weeping over this Lord, her Savior, who she had been following. She's standing there weeping, and then she looks into the tomb again like, I can't believe this. This is a bad joke. Maybe to look at this situation for a second time, thinking, surely this can't be happening to me. This can't be happening at all. I'm in a nightmare. This is a nightmare. Did you ever feel like that? Did you ever feel like you were living a nightmare? But look what happened in verse 18. I could preach to you probably 5-6 sermons out of this one thing right here. She turned around. Look at verse 15. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. And at this point, she did not know that it was Jesus. She did not recognize, that's what she's saying, it. She didn't recognize him. That is not until verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to mean teacher. So Mary did not recognize Jesus until Jesus called her by name. Does Jesus know your name? Yes. How's that make you feel? Does that make you feel good?
That makes you feel very good, right? She came and she and once he called her name, she turned around. Do you see that? Once Jesus spoke to her, revealed himself to her, do you see that? Verse 16, she turned and said to him, Rabboni. Jesus called Mary by name, and she turned around from that, and from that point forward, watch, from that point forward, Mary's life would never be the same. Her life was forever changed. This is a picture of salvation. That's what this is. You see, the hope and joy that Mary thought was gone was immediately restored. The devastation and despair that she had just felt in her life was replaced with celebration and delight. Why? Because Jesus was alive. See, her hope had been restored, and her future now had security and purpose. You know what? I don't let my past dictate my life. I let my future dictate my life. How about you? Listen, you see this? She now has a new future. It's been made secure. Her future now has purpose. And you know what? We can have a secure hope this morning as well. Because this morning, if you are experiencing a low point in your life, if you're experiencing circumstances that you just don't understand, like Mary was, then I must tell you, you need to do the exact same thing Mary did. Turn around. Turn around. You're walking in your own way, in your own despair, in your own path, and turn around and look to Jesus, and he will give you a new direction with a new message and a new purpose. You see that? That is just tremendous. Mary, just so you, if you're where Mary is, then turn around. She turned her life toward Jesus. Do you see that? She's looking at his face. She's speaking with him. She's talking with him. What is she? She's in relationship with him. She turned her life toward Jesus, and when she did, what started out as a hopeless situation turned into a glorious reason to celebrate. Why? Because she had now, watch, she now has a reason to live. Her purpose for life had been taken away. You ever been there? But now, she has a reason to live. Look at that. She had a reason to move forward. Some of us get stuck where we're at and we can't move forward. Look, her encounter with Jesus gave her a reason to move forward. Do you need a reason to move forward? Not only did she have a reason to move forward, but watch, she had a reason to move forward with hope. With hope. Verse 18 says that Mary then left the tomb. She moved forward. Look, she moved forward from hopelessness and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She had been with the Lord. She spoke with the Lord. Listen, there will be a lot of things that happen in our lives. Amen. There will be a lot of things that happen in our lives that we don't have the answers to. There will be a lot of things that happen that we just don't understand. We can't make sense out of it. It doesn't right. It's not fair. We can't put our thumb on it. Whatever it is, we just don't understand. And listen to me. Many people, instead of turning to Jesus when difficult times come, they turn away and they look for answers elsewhere. It could be something as serious as a false religion. Maybe a pill bottle that has opioids in it. Maybe it's a bottle that has alcohol in it. Maybe it's whatever, you plug it in. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that when you're standing at the door of darkness, when you're standing at the door of uncertainty, when you're standing at the door of sorrow, listen to me, turn toward Jesus. Search for him. Seek for him. Do you see? She was out looking for him. And you need to turn toward Jesus. You need to start searching for him. Investigate. Is it true what they say? Is it true that he will do this in my life? Is this something that is for me? Is this something that I can have? And when you find him, do what he says. Do what he instructs you to do. Because listen, just like Mary, when we are looking for him, he will find us. When we are looking for him, He will find us. It's not that I find him, but I'm looking, but he's going to find me, and he will bring us comfort and joy even in the midst of sorrow. And trust me when I say this, he will provide comfort. He will provide comfort where there is pain. He will provide joy where there is hopelessness. He will provide peace where there is uncertainty. And that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave, what was that power? It's called the Holy Spirit. It's a He. The power of the Holy Spirit rose him up from the grave. That same power, that same Holy Spirit can raise us above any burden that is holding us down. Because there is no power in hell that can stand against the great I Am. He just proved it when he resurrected. There is no power. Whatever it is, burden that's holding you down, listen, Jesus can replace our sorrow with joy, and he proved it with Mary. He proved it. He's giving us an example of what a resurrected Lord means. Now listen, and knowing that he can do that for Mary, now watch, and knowing that, doesn't that give you hope? Because it gave her hope, it can give me hope. Doesn't that get you excited? Jesus offers us joy regardless of what life is throwing at you. Listen, I know some people are in some hard situations right now. But you know what? You know how they can withstand that situation? Because they know who holds their future. Life is worth the living. Listen, I can face tomorrow. Listen, I'm not asking for anything bad, but listen, if it comes, I feel that I can face tomorrow. Listen, I'm getting ready to go on a cruise, right? Some of you in here have no idea what that means. Majority of you do, right? Listen, I can face tomorrow. I don't care what it brings. I don't care. I can do it. Why? Because I have a risen Savior who is alive and well. Listen, he offers joy no matter, he offers joy no matter who you are. Now remember something. Remember something about Mary Magdalene. Do you remember anything about her? At one time in her life, she was possessed by 7 demons. So it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. He can bring this joy if you would turn around. And he offers joy. Listen, this joy is forever. No matter where you are, whether you are standing next to a tomb or hiding behind locked doors like the disciples, which brings me to Jesus' corporate appearance, his appearance corporately to the disciples, which shows us this, the second thing. Jesus' resurrection brings a message of peace. Look at verse 19. Jesus' resurrection brings a message of peace. Then the same day at evening... Same day that Mary went to the tomb, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, meaning he breathed his spirit into them, the Holy Spirit, and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." You know, doesn't it seem that when you're at the lowest point in your life, when you feel like you have been kicked in the stomach, when by some event in your life, when you feel like there's no hope left for you, you think there's just nothing there, that is when fear moves in and establishes residence in your mind and in your soul, and you don't know what to do or where to go. When your family's in a mess. When your finances are in a mess. When your health is in a mess. When your marriage is in a mess. When your job is in a mess. When your future's in a mess. and the stress and strain of problems in our lives can wear us down, and honestly, they can wear us out. And then you know what begins to happen? Then fear begins to consume. It begins to consume us. It begins to overtake us. It begins a solid a thought process almost 24 hours a day, and we wake up tossing and turning at night in this fear of what's going to happen to me. That's exactly where the disciples were. They're in that exact same state. Look in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now we just read over that and we think that that's, but it's much more. This fear is a legitimate fear that they were fearing for their lives. The disciples were afraid. You know, I'm afraid of my wife, but I'm more afraid of snakes. You get my point there? The disciples were afraid, like afraid of snakes. They were afraid to go outside of the locked doors. They're all huddled up in this room, and they got the doors locked. Remember, they had just watched. Remember what they just watched. They just watched their Lord be beaten so badly that his bones were exposed. And then after that, they had watched their Lord die a gruesome death on a cross, hung naked before men. So I'm sure that they were fearful that they were next. That their association with Jesus may also carry a death sentence for them just because they were his disciples. So they were afraid that what happened to Jesus would happen to them. You see the kind of fear I'm talking about now? Or maybe at this point they just wanted to die. And you know, grief does silly things, right? Grief does silly things. Maybe they just wanted to die. Maybe they felt that there was no reason left to go on. Have you ever felt like that? Now, there's a new song that's been playing on the radio, sang by Zach Williams. It's called Fear is a Liar. Fear is a Liar. It's the title of it. Now, who is he referring to when he talks about fear? Who is he referring to? Satan, right? Here, it goes like this. When he, little h, meaning Satan, when he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Ugh. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. Well, that's what fear does. That's what Satan does. He tries to convince you that you're not worthy. He tries to convince you that you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're not whatever enough. But that's who he is. We know him in the scripture, they call him the accuser. Who's he accusing you to? Who's he accusing you before? God, look, he ain't good enough. And then he starts working in your mind, tells you, you're not good enough. Grace can't cover that much. He's a liar. He is a liar. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that an authority of the scripture. He is a liar. Think up now. Watch now. Think about what the disciples had to be feeling. Think where they're at. Think what's just taken place. Now think what they had to be feeling. And then notice what happened next. In the middle of their fear, who shows up? Who shows up? Not only does Jesus show up and replace their fear with peace and gladness, look and notice verse 19. Look what it says. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, what? Peace be with you. Now notice, get what is happening here. As the disciples were experiencing the biggest crisis of their lives, we've all had crisis, right? Loved ones who die or whatever, you know, they're experiencing the biggest crisis of their lives. Jesus shows up, showing them that he was alive, showing them that there was no reason to be in fear. The one, the one in whom fear fears, the one in whom fear fears was among them. And he was alive and he was well. No dominion of hell will stand before him. See that? Look what verse 20 says. He showed them his hands and his side. So why did Jesus do that? Well, here I'm going to give you my opinion on why Jesus did that. Here's what I believe. I believe it was to prove something to the disciples, obviously, but it was to further prove that the fear that they were experiencing was now replaced with life. You ever be around somebody who fears death? That's what they were afraid of. And now standing before them was the one who was going to replace that fear with life. He was going to replace that fear with peace. He's going to replace that fear with gladness. And the second part of verse 20 says that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Listen, it says that Jesus stood in the midst of them while they were behind locked doors. It doesn't say that Jesus knocked at the door and said, "Hey, can anybody here let me in?" It doesn't say that. It didn't say that they let him in. It says that he stood in the midst of them. Understand, fear has a lock on a lot of people's lives today. Satan has a lock on a lot of people's lives today. Fear has a lot of people locked down today. But praise God, locked doors and fear are not going to stop Jesus from rescuing those in whom he loves. Do you see? He's on a rescue mission. And let me tell you, he's still rescuing today. And the scripture says this, that he loves you, for God so loved. Scripture said he loves you. Now, do you know why fear cannot stop Jesus? Why fear has no grip and control over Jesus? Do you know why? It's simple. Just like the song I read to you, fear is a liar. Fear is a lie. And Jesus Christ is the truth. And the truth will what? Set you? Jesus Christ is truth, and he alone defeated fear on the cross. He and he alone defeated fear on the cross. Jesus took all the fear. Look, watch. Jesus took all the fear that Satan could throw at him. Anything that Satan could dream up to do to Jesus, he did it. But fear could not hold even death. Even death. But fear could not hold him. And now that he defeated fear, now that he's defeated Satan, you don't have to fear Satan either. Why? Because he lives. You don't have to live in bondage anymore to fear. You can face tomorrow. You can face tomorrow. And listen, because he lives, every single day his mercies are new. Every single day. Jesus conquered fear. Not just the fear of the disciples, not just the fear of Mary Magdalene, but he's conquered your fears. Whatever they are, he's conquered your fears. So let me ask you this. Are you afraid of what will happen next month when your rent is due? Are you afraid what's going to happen next month when your rent due? Remember this. Fear is a liar. Are you afraid of what will happen to your kids in the future? Remember this. Fear is a what? Liar. Are you afraid of what will happen when you lose your health? Remember this. Fear is a? Liar. Are you afraid of what will happen the next time terrorists attack this country? Remember this. Are you afraid of what will happen if you lose your job next week? Remember this. Fear is what? Are you afraid of what will happen in your marriage? Remember this. How about this one? Are you afraid of what will happen when you die? Death is the number one fear of most people. Well, remember this. That's right. Listen, we watched a saint go home to be with the Lord last week, and let me tell you what she was doing on her deathbed. Praise the Lord. I am ready to go. Praise the Lord. I want out of here. Praise the Lord. I want to go home. I want to be with Jesus. She had no fear. Why? She was in the presence of Jesus right here. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a battle in the grove. Over on that olive grove, there was a battle in the grove, and the war on death was defeated, and Jesus overcome. And those of us who are found in Him will also overcome. Why? I'm glad you asked me. Because you've not heard this before, so I got to tell you this. This is new, it is fresh, it is brilliant, it is exciting, it is all about everything Christianity could be. I got to tell you why. He is alive. And He is alive so that you would have nothing to fear. You don't have to lie awake at night wondering what will happen to you when you die. Because as a child of God, a child of the King, a child of the Savior, you do not have to listen to the liar. Amen? He is not my authority. I turn towards Jesus. I have a new authority. I have a new destination. He is a liar. I don't have to listen to Him. I don't have to listen to Him and say, "My grace will not cover you." You're a liar. You tell me I'm not pretty. You're a liar. I am beautiful. I'm made by the God of the universe. Liar. I don't have to have fear. He's a liar. And listen, we will all one day die. It's inevitable, but do you not have to fear? Because Jesus said in John 14:6, He says what? I am the way, the truth, and what? And no one comes to the Father. Get your good guy theory out. Don't get to say, "I hope so, I think so, I think I've done enough good." You ain't done nothing close enough to be. Jesus did it on the cross. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth. I'm not lying to you, I'm going to prove it to you." That's what He's saying. What is the way? Jesus Christ. What is the truth? That Jesus Christ lived and died. He died because of you. He didn't die before something He did. He died because of what you did. He died because of what I did. That Jesus lived and died. He died because of you, for you, as you. And everything that happened to Him should be happening to you. He died for your sins that separate you from a holy God. Yes, He died for you, but it is equally important to know that now that He lives, He can bring you hope. He can bring you joy. He can bring you peace. He can bring you security. He can bring you eternity without fear. Amen. So you must accept that truth. And He died because you are a sinner. You must believe that. It was in Charlie's class this morning. Look, we all sin. I don't care how despicable you are. You're a sinner. He died for you. He took on your sin. He took it on. What you should have taken on, He took on. And as He hung on that horrific cross, the weight of your sin was placed upon Him, so much so that heaven had to look away. He paid a price you could never pay. And you must believe that. But you also must believe that he now lives to prove that he conquered your sin. So you must say yes. Look, watch. You must say yes. I am a sinner. And you're being, that's the truth. That's not a lie, that's the truth. How many in here will say that you're a sinner? Let me get both of mine up. Yeah, right, here we go. I'm a sinner. And then beg God to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you of your sin, that the punishment that he took was for you, for your sin. Ask him to forgive you by the blood that he shed on the cross. Ask him to forgive you that, and then you must believe that he is Lord over your life. You turn toward Jesus. You see it? I could keep going back to that all day. And she turned around. She turned toward Jesus. Because he lives, you can live forever. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow. And in believing this, knowing your future in Christ, your fear, knowing your, I said this earlier, I live out my life because of my future. Your fear will be gone. It will be replaced with the faith and the assurance of knowing, there's the hope, of knowing that because he lives, so will you. And not only will I live, but I will live eternally in a place called heaven with Jesus. No more death, no more dying, no more sickness, no more poverty, no more, no more, no more. Oh. Listen, this resurrection day, many people are searching for joy in their lives. We live in uncertain times. Many people struggle day to day. They do. People struggle day to day, not knowing the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Many people, although they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have lost the joy of their salvation. You once were close, but now you find yourself set back. Because when hard times come, you turn away from the Savior instead of running to him. You run out of the church instead of into the church. You run away from the Word instead of into the Word. You allow yourself to become locked in fear instead of allowing the peace of Jesus to stand in your midst. Why? You're listening to a liar. You've allowed yourself to listen to a liar. Listen, family, and that's who you are to me. You're my family. Listen, if you have lost the joy of your salvation, then this morning I invite you to come to the foot of the cross and ask God to renew his joy in you. When was the last time you came and spoke to God and said, God, look, I need to get back. And I need you to help me do that. Would you come and do that? Or maybe you have become anxious and worried about things that are happening in your life. Then this morning I invite you to come and ask God to give you the peace that transcends all understanding. A peace that only comes through the presence of our Savior. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then what? What are you waiting for? I don't get it. What are you waiting for? The offer of grace is been put out. He says, come. Come. All who hear, come unto me, and I will set you free. What are you waiting for? You say, I got to change my life? No, you don't got to change your life. Jesus will do that for you when you start following him. You say, I don't want to change my life? Then live the lie. Let me ask you in another way. Do you want joy? Do you want peace? Well, you will only have that when you have a personal encounter with the risen Savior. Did you notice that both of those encounters, even though one was personal and one was corporate, it was very personal? When you have a personal encounter with the risen Savior, you can know joy and you can know peace. Listen, if that's you this morning, then come and grab me by the hand. And listen, and I would love to lead you to joy. I'd love to lead you to peace. I'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. I would like to help mentor you into a relationship with Him. I will lead you to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's a life changer. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor, I'm afraid. Pastor, I was going to do it, but I was afraid. Pastor, I'm afraid to do what you're telling me to do. Listen to me. The liar is speaking to you right now. The liar is speaking to you right now. He's saying, no, no, you don't need that. You shouldn't. The liar is speaking, but God is also speaking, and you hearing way down in there, I know that I know that I need this. Listen, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you this from personal experience. You take the first step toward Jesus, and all your fear will be gone. Do you want to know why? Glad you asked. Because fear is a liar. Listen, once you take that first step, Jesus will be with you the rest of the way. I know it to be true. Because I was the guy sitting in the very back pew in this very church in 1986, hanging on the back of that pew, thinking, when I get a hold of that pastor, I'm going to tell him what I think. And I did. It wasn't a pleasant conversation, but he let me know right up front. He says, son, if somebody was speaking to you, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. You take your issue up with Him. Listen, once you and once I stepped out and took that first step, the first step, I could feel the relief of the burden of my sins being washed away. I could feel it because that's when I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back in this case. No turning back. You take that first step, Jesus will be with you the rest of the way. He is truth, and He will remove that fear, and He will replace it with peace. He will replace it with joy. So I've done all this to tell you this. Jesus has risen. Now I'm going to preach. Jesus has risen. No joke. Jesus has risen. Trust Jesus. Not fear. As we begin to sing, as the praise band comes, as we begin to sing, are you living in fear? Or are you living in peace with God? Are you living in fear of you do not know what tomorrow holds or how you'll handle it? Or are you living in peace with Christ that no matter what happens, that you know at the end you'll be found in Him? That your joy will be complete. Because He lives, you can face tomorrow. Because He lives, you don't have to listen to the lie anymore. Father God, let us pray. Father God, I praise and thank You for Your word today. Father, I pray that You will just, Your Holy Spirit will fall. Anyone who has never trusted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, they would just come forward and just grab me by the hand and say, I want to know Jesus. And Father, we're not going to hold them up. We're not going to point them out. We're not going to, you know, do anything like that. But Father, we simply want to pray with them and follow up with them. So Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that Your Holy Spirit will move and people, You will bind the liar. You'll bind the liar who cast the fear, but Your Holy Spirit will rise up as it did in that upper room that day, that Your Holy Spirit will rise up and that Your people who heard Your word will come forward and respond unto Your salvation because You are alive. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.